So I think with Mara O'Connor now, is Mara here? Mara, who's representing here, the speaking the representative of the Heather Scott Construction Group.
I think I'm speaking on the Heather Services Action Group's behalf, all right, although I haven't actually been officially authorised because I only got this invitation to speak just before lunch. So you'll have to bear with me if what I'm about to say is not actually peppered with direct quotes from any documents. So this is going to be quite sketchy and quite brief. Somebody said earlier there in mid-morning, speaker down the back just talked about talking about education and the educational sector, said something to the effect that our colleges are private. Well, of course, the same could be said about many of our hospitals, and indeed many of our older hospitals, except that in this country, of course, we call them voluntary, whereas in a country like France, they would be called private. But of course, in those days, they were not for profit, unlike today, where many of them have made that change of direction, which is really so significant, and which I think has never been written about in the media, in the press, that change from a not-for-profit to for-profit. Even the nuns have profited handsomely from the boom. And just to take one example of a development in recent years, which is our very own indigenous growth, and one could say not influenced necessarily, or at least directly, by anything that's been happening in Brussels, and that would be the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland. You might remember they had a private bill before the Dáil a couple of years ago, and that bill was extremely interesting, and almost all of our political parties, including the Labour Party, entirely ignored it. Now, at one level, it was written in English, which you'd actually need virtually a master's in Anglo-Saxon to be able to understand it, because they simply took one of the old 18th century charters, and I think it was probably a deliberate ploy, because genuinely the bill was almost unintelligible. But what it actually did was, it gave the powers of a modern transnational corporation to the Royal College of Surgeons. And this allied to their status as a tax-dodging charitable body actually makes them quite significant players indeed. And this except for Sinn Féin's Caoimhín O'Connor, I think he was actually the only deputy in the Dáil to oppose this bill. But Ireland's public-private mix in health makes it very fertile ground indeed for further expansion of the neoliberal project. And I suppose that the current policy initiatives, I'm not going to run through all of them, but the one that's been, of course, that people actually do know something about is the tax breaks for private hospitals and nursing homes. And these have acted as a growth promoter in the sector. And we have unthinkingly on the part of some people and ideologically on the part of others gone down the private for-profit route. There's not actually been any discussion that we might have a private sector, not that I would particularly favour this, I wouldn't, which is not for profit. I mean, so what we've done is not just gone down the private road, but gone down the private for-profit route in health. And this is a crucial difference about which there has been no debate. There's even no ban here on doctors investing in private hospitals or clinics. And even in the United States, which seems to be a model of healthcare, we're copying rather closely at the moment, they have actually questioned the wisdom of allowing doctors to invest in these facilities. Because one of the things that happens, of course, is that it leads to an oversupply of medical treatment. And that is really not something that is sustainable for any society in the longer term. And if you look at the research on private for-profits in health, it's almost overwhelmingly negative. And Dr. John Barton, chairman of the Health Services Action Group, has actually written an excellent paper on this. And for any of you who are interested, I'm sure he'd be very happy to make it available to you. The research is overwhelmingly negative. It results, private for-profit healthcare results in care, which is of worse quality, which has poorer outcomes, as in more people die, and less cost containment. And if you look at the work of, say, somebody like Professor Alison Pollock, who is now based in Edinburgh, and you take her book, NHS PLC, you will see what PPPs have done to the NHS in Britain. And yet, we are now going down this route, entirely undeterred. Just to say one word there on corruption, which of course is another hazard of privatisation in health. In the late 90s, there have been several major corruption scandals in health. One of them in the late 90s involved Columbia Healthcare, which was convicted of multi-billion dollar fraud against government insurers, Medicaid and Medicare. Now, the interesting thing about Columbia is that after it was convicted in the court of this level of fraud, they actually broke, as is not uncommon, into a number of companies. Now, one of these companies is actually in Ireland, let me reassure you. Triad Inc. is now operating one of our newer for-profit hospitals, Beacon, in South County Dublin. Now, of course, here we're actually planning to bring things a stage further, as we always do. We're not actually content to do what other countries are doing. We can actually go further, we can do it better. So the government here, which is really quite an unusual policy initiative, and in fact, I don't think any country in the world has actually done this as of yet. So this would be yet another first for Ireland. We're actually planning to shut our second level hospitals, in effect, to downgrade them to local, as I call them, mandate centres. So 26 of our smaller public hospitals are now going to get the axe. And this is to facilitate the creation of 10 hyper hospitals. And you probably know about these. And these are going to include, of course, private hospitals on public hospital sites. We might call them actually Sloan Ketterings. And I often wondered what our government, and particularly what our Minister for Health actually meant when she talked about a world-class health service. I'm sure some of you did too, because there are layers of ambiguity there. You actually have no idea what it means. But watching the Late Late there a couple of weeks ago in that pre-election broadcast that was courtesy of our national broadcaster, of course, the scales actually fell to my eyes. In fact, I actually woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning and said, now I get it. Because what she said was, at least what she did was to express huge admiration for Sloan Kettering. Now, maybe some of you don't know what Sloan Kettering is or what Sloan Kettering actually does. But Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Centre is actually, claims to be, the world's oldest and largest private cancer institution. They provide state-of-the-art cover facilities for people who can afford them. Actually, for millionaire cancer sufferers, I'm sure it's absolutely wonderful. It offers everything from aromatherapy to Reiki to spiritual healing to the latest cutting-edge cancer drugs developed by their very own clinicians on site. Somebody talked earlier about going into partnership with business, how education was going down that road. Well, as you will see, we are about to actually take things to a new stage here. Sloan Kettering even boasts a state-of-the-art pet hospital, which you will be reassured to know is a not-for-profit. But it's actually quite useful because it enables the drugs to be tested before they're tried on the human guinea pigs in Sloan Kettering. Now, the most interesting aspect of Sloan Kettering, of all, as I discovered, is its tie-up with Big Pharma. And I know this will interest you here, because of course we all know we are home to most, if not all, of the biggest pharmaceutical companies in the world. So 3 years ago, Sloan Kettering went into partnership with Royalty Pharma. I don't know if any of you have heard of Royalty Pharma here, but Royalty Pharma is a company that specialises in buying intellectual property rights in biotechnology. And Sloan Kettering is now a shareholder in Royalty Pharma, and owns rights in drugs manufactured by many of the companies located here in Ireland, including Pfizer, Eli Lilly and so on. There's no need to list them all. But what worried me more than anything, I think, was the fact that the hospital entered into this agreement 3 years ago and it now actually gets paid bonuses if it meets agreed sales targets. They actually call them hurdles over there, but I think we get the picture. And that's in two of the products which have been developed at Memorial by Sloan Kettering staff. And this is the model that the Minister for Health is actually dreaming of. This is a world-class health service that we're about to get, a state-of-the-art facility, available only to the wealthy, that is a pillar of the pharmaceutical industry.